Hello and welcome to another episode of Monday Marv, your walk and talk podcast, your source of moving motivation. Today's guest is an icon and role model both in and out of the sports world. She's a double Olympic gold medalist, European, Commonwealth and world medalist, and one of the faces who made history in London 2012. She's got an infectious zest for life, a power mum, and someone I'm really excited to walk with. It is Rebecca Adlington.
I think that's the best intro I've ever had.
Go on, let's claim it. But genuinely, you are an absolute powerhouse of a woman.
I don't think I am. I don't feel like it.
I think you are, but you're so low key about it. Really casual.
I don't know how else to be. And trust me, I don't feel like I have any sort of power. I feel like I could sleep for about 2 weeks at the minute. But no, it's nice to be in London. It's nice to be down here. I haven't done many trips to London since COVID and lockdown and all that crap. So yeah, it's nice to be back. Don't get me wrong, don't like the traffic, can't deal with the travel.
No, how do you feel about the tube? You got the tube, right, to meet me?
Do you know what? Sometimes if it's not rush hour, I'm all right. Yeah. I came down a couple of weeks ago and it was rush hour. I walked down the tube steps, saw that everyone was queuing on the platform and went, nah, I went back up and got an Uber because I was like, I can't do it. It just stressed me out.
Yeah, you do. There's definitely, with London, I feel there's an anxiousness in the air. If you're not used to it, everyone's on full mission mode. Uber, especially during rush hour, it takes like twice the time, no?
I know. I think it was more because it was one of the first times I'd been in a crowd, and it was more from I've been in lockdown, I've been on maternity leave, kind of not really been with people. It was more that aspect than it was the travel, because I was like, nobody's wearing a mask and nobody's, this was like a couple of months ago and it was like still like wear a mask and do all that. It wasn't
all of this
week.
And that, but we're past that. London though, does it hold a special place in your heart? London 2012 made history.
Yeah, and I think it always, but London's not the same as it was during games time. That's
true.
That's definitely not. But
very
to be
true.
Fair, like having been to like loads of countries that have got like Olympic, that have had Olympics and kind of seen the facilities, like what we have here is so special. Like the fact that I could come down with my kids, take them to go swimming in an Olympic pool for fairly cheap, really, as well, is absolutely like epic. And I think not many countries, I feel like we take it for granted. As British people, I feel we take for granted what it is to have that legacy and to have that on our doorstep, because not many countries do.
Yeah, that is pretty wild. Do you ever just go casually for a swim at the Olympic pool?
I have done, yeah. A bit difficult now with the little one, and the second little one, but yeah, beforehand I have, because I just think it's weird, because when I go for a swim now, I don't swim like I'm used to, obviously. Yeah. So it's nice that I just go and plod and just kind of be with my thoughts and just kind of enjoy
the switch off.
Yeah, and the swim. And that's what I get to do now in London, which I certainly didn't then, because it was like focus and dedication and pressure.
I mean, it's not even comparable, is it?
No.
So why swimming? How did the swimming journey begin?
Do you know what? There's not much to do in Mansfield. It's a small town.
Yeah.
And luckily, we have two swimming pools, and we've got more now, but when I was growing up, we have two swimming pools, and it was like everyone in Mansfield can swim because there was pools.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was just my sister swam. So by the time I came along, my eldest sister was like fully in the big pool and everything. I just absolutely loved it. Like both my sisters. And it kind of just became a family thing that we all did. I think like most parents, like with multiple kids, especially when there's three of you, it's really hard to go here, there and everywhere with all the different kids. So I think my mum and dad just went, right, that's just swimming and that's just all we're doing. because it's easy. And yeah, just absolutely loved it. It was just the thing that I've never been scared. Like I know like when I hear like Adam Peaty talking about like he used to be scared, or like other people's journey is so different, whereas mine's just really boring because
you just loved it.
I just loved it from day dot, and yeah, it's the only thing I ever tried.
Was there always a particular stroke that you were like, yes, this is my jam, it just feels good on my body?
Yeah, it was always going to be front crawl. I think it's one of those that I did start off doing a little bit of butterfly.
Butterfly is the hardest thing ever.
It is really
And then front crawl. When I do front crawl, I swear, I can only breathe on the left. I think from snowboarding, I'm always standing in this position, or was, left foot forward. So then if I was to go like that, my body's just like stuck.
You find it weird.
I think I need to do a bit more yoga.
To be fair, that's absolutely fine. A lot of top swimmers like prefer to breathe to one side.
Or, really?
Yeah. You don't, like, you train breathing bilaterally, but like most people, like I always had a preferred side. Everyone does, and everyone swims to that side that you naturally feel more comfortable.
So how did you go from just swimming casually with your sisters and loving it to turning up in Beijing, breaking the world record and winning a double Olympic gold? Like that, I don't think that happens. Is that a normal thing?
I don't know. I guess it's so weird because, like, obviously I didn't know any other path, and I think most people go to a Commonwealth Games or like a Worlds or like Europeans, like they have a nice build up.
Yeah.
Whereas I just kind of went straight in and just did the Olympics. I tried to make Commonwealth Games, I was ill, so missed Melbourne in 06, and then Worlds in 07 I went and absolutely bombed out in the heat, got way too nervous and didn't even make a final.
No way.
So that was the year before the Games, and just let the nerves get the better of me. I was so prepared. And then after that Worlds, I was like, that's never happening again. So it was just, and then Beijing happened. Never ever expected it to at all. And it was unbelievable. Like, it was just, I still can't believe it. Like, I was 19, I had no
19 is so, so young. To turn up at Olympic Games and outperform and double perform. I would imagine after winning the first gold, if it was me, I feel like my head would have been distracted. I would have been here, there and everywhere. But to get back in the pool, how many days after?
We had a couple of days. But Beijing was the same as what Tokyo's just been, as in like the heats were in the evening, then you got to go to bed, and then you did the final in the morning, which is so bizarre as swimmers, by the way, like to do that. But so it was like for the 400, I felt awful the morning of the four.
Yeah.
Like I just couldn't wake up. I'd had a chest infection, so I'd only finished my antibiotics the day before.
No.
So I still just felt really sluggish. So that one was a complete like surprise. I hadn't really raced the 400 either. So that one was like a new event. So it was totally unexpected. And it's so weird when you've, like you said, when you've won and you want to go out and celebrate and do all this stuff, and then you go back to your room and you like have to put your medal away in a drawer and forget it's ever happened.
Yeah.
Like, it is really
that,
like,
that is bizarre, actually.
It's such
because you've got the ultimate token, but yet there's another one to be potentially grabbed.
You couldn't even like, relish in the moment, because you just couldn't. My mum and dad didn't fly out for the 400. That's how like people just didn't expect me to do anything.
No way.
Even my own parents were like, nah, this isn't hers.
This isn't for her.
So nobody did. Like, my parents just thought, oh, if she makes the final, it's a bonus. So they were a bit gutted when I made the final, but they were like, it's okay.
They were a bit gutted when I made the final.
Well, just because they were like, oh, we can't fly out. We wouldn't be there in time. Like, it was just not physically possible for them to fly out in time to watch it. But they were like, it's okay, we're coming out for the eight, and she's probably going to come like sixth or seventh in the 400. So
which
to win it.
Which is still decent.
Yeah, which is still decent, 100%. But when I phoned my mum and dad afterwards, their reaction was, why didn't you tell us? And I was like, I didn't know.
Did
like,
you honestly have no inkling that
no
you
clue.
Thought?
No clue.
I mean, that's like superwoman style powers there. Like, just out the blue, the girl next door rocks up in Beijing, takes the double gold, boom.
Do you know what though? I think it was like that Olympic, that my events just seemed to be like the golden favourite, like ended up coming eighth or something. Like, I think there was just flukes and there was just stuff that was like, I would have given, like there was two girls, a French girl, an American girl, which were like big rivals, head to head, all the time. They were one and two. So everybody had just put them two, like, on the podium already, and the American girl didn't even make the final, and the French girl bombed out. So I was just like, sheer luck, I think.
So post games, you come back, you are, you know, a role model, an icon in your own right. That's clearly catapulted your profile into a different space. How was that, and was there a difference between Beijing and London?
It was so weird because, like, and this is gonna make me sound so old, back in that my day, it was like
you're
a long.
You're so young though, for what you've achieved is actually ridiculous. And you're a mum of two kids, mad.
I think it's more just like, at the time, like, I don't think Instagram, I reckon I joined Instagram around 09, 10. I want to say that, I can't actually remember, but I don't think I had Instagram for Beijing. I think I only had Twitter.
You can't even have Instagram in China, can you?
Well, I can't even remember. I genuinely don't think I had Instagram. So that was a real shock because Twitter, like, I have a love and hate relationship with Twitter. I love Instagram because I'm much more of a visual person.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Twitter, for me, has been a real negative place. So I don't tweet as much as I do because I just find it a real negative place to be.
And why would you say you found Twitter a negative space versus Instagram? What do you think it is that's led to that?
Do you know what? I think it's one of those that, like, I feel like Instagram is so visual, so I feel like a lot of people just scroll rather than comment or reply. Well, it is on my kind of feed, so I feel like how I look through Instagram is I just look and then you just like it. I don't really massively comment all the time because I don't have time. I have pockets of 5 minutes where I'm like dead quick at looking at
little
stuff.
Little swipe, cheeky like, see what your mates are up to.
Yeah, done. Whereas like Twitter, I just feel like everybody wants to talk to you, but in a real negative space. Ooh. And I'm like, it's just, I don't know, even when I go on there and look at my feed, it's people moaning and complaining. And I'm like, I just find I get in a real negative space with it. And I'm still on it because I do like it for certain things like the Olympics. I love it when the Olympics are on.
It's great for sports updates.
It's amazing for news. I think you find things out on Twitter
faster than anywhere. Trending now.
So I feel like for that, it's really good. And I feel like for sport, it's really good. But Twitter, I think I just associate it with a negative place because I got loads of trolling from Twitter. So I think that's why I disconnect from it a little bit, because I had the experience of all my trolling from that. Because after Beijing, the start of it was really lovely and like, oh my God, Becky. And like, I kind of gained loads of followers. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've got 10,000 followers. Oh my gosh, I've got 20,000 followers.
And I'm going up by the 10.
Yeah, and it was like unbelievable. And it was like, started off really nice. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh gosh, you're ugly. And oh my gosh, what a nose on you. And oh my gosh, you look like a whale and a dolphin. And like all these comments kind of kept coming flooding in, real nasty ones as well, ones that I cannot repeat as well because the language is so awful. But it's just like,
so after Beijing that began,
that started, yeah,
that's disgusting. I really don't understand why anyone in their right mind would go out of their way to even say something horrible to someone they don't know. I just don't understand.
I don't understand in general why sports people are getting criticized on the way they look. Like, if I was going to try and be a model or an actor, like, hey, that's fair enough. But I'm like, all I do is swim. Like, do you need to be pretty to swim? I don't think it's...
You're a freaking babe, though. I don't know what the trolls are seeing.
Yeah, but do you... I don't think it's part of...
No, it's not part of the
requirements.
It's not part of the requirements. It's about looking after your body, being strong, being powerful, and representing your country on the world stage. Like,
well, it should be about the hard work that you've done and like how you deal with the pressure and kind of tactics and all this. That's what sport's about, not about the way you look. So I found that really hard, and at first I took it so personally. Like, there were so many times where I just used to cry or just to come home from an event. I remember when I got my OBE, and I got it from the Queen, which was just like, oh my God, I got it from the Queen.
Go on.
Amazing.
I mean, that's unreal.
And I wore this, like, it was really in there then, so don't judge me, but it was like one of those like bandage wrap dress. Can you remember that were like really trendy at the time?
Yes, I do. I feel like I might even still have one of those in my wardrobe. I'll bust it out tonight for the Team GB ball.
Please do. But I had this green one that I wore, and I was like really nervous because it had to be like below the knee. Like, you're meeting the Queen. It was like, cover up your arms.
Yeah.
So I put this cream jacket over the top. I was like, I've got to be a bit more classy. I can't be this like 19-year-old girl from Beijing. I've got like, from Mansfield, sorry. I've just got to be like really classy and smart. So I felt So I felt like, okay, I've got this nice dress. And then afterwards was like, why do you look like that? You look like a whale with bandages round her, and like all these horrible comments.
That is disgusting, Becky. That makes me so, so angry.
The worst thing about it was like, it taints that event then for me. Like, I don't have one photo up in my house from when I got my OBE.
No.
Because I like, all I associate it with is,
horrible,
oh my God, horrible stuff and comments. And like, that day was the greatest day of my parents' life. Like, my mum and dad got to come to Buckingham Palace with me. Like, they saw their daughter getting an OBE. It was like the greatest day of their lives. And there's me that's like, I don't want to remember it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to talk about it.
That is so awful.
And it is really hard.
How have you dealt with that then? Because I know there's lots of different ways to, I suppose, approach trolling. To put it to bed, some people believe in commenting, letting the trolls know they've seen it, and then other people just choose to leave it. How have you managed to, you know, leave that in the past? Or is it something you still struggle with?
Do you know what? I wish I could be like, I love James Blunt on Twitter, like his response to trolls, like the way he comments back is just so witty and clever and just like funny. And I wish I could be like that, but I'm just not. and I just block and ignore it. And
so would you say, if, you know, when it has happened, you would just block that and remove that person from...
I do everything I can. I delete it, I remove it, I block it. And I'm not doing that because I don't want other people to see it. Like, some people delete comments because they're like, don't want others to see it or whatever. Yeah. I do it because I have to delete that from me.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't delete that, I will go back on it and obsess about it and constantly think about it. And so for me, I have to just block it and report it and ignore it and do what I can to just get it away, because I feel like by doing that, I allow it to go from my brain and then I kind of can forget about it.
Yeah.
My brain then can, I feel like I just remove it from my brain. Not only do I remove it from my phone, but I remove it from my brain that way. So that's just how it suits me.
Yeah.
And I tried so many things. Like, I used to say, like, I'm not gonna look on stuff when I was in bed, for example, because when it first started, like, I don't really get that many now, to be honest. I'm really lucky. But back in the height of it, I used to be sat there at 10 o'clock at night in my own bed, like crying my eyes out from the comments I was getting. And I was like,
that
I can't keep doing
horrendous.
That. Because that's your space that they're coming into. And I was like, hold on, I'm allowing
in your
that.
Bedroom. That's the crazy thing about social media, having an online presence, having a profile of any capacity, is you open yourself up to that scrutiny from the public. It's not good.
No.
So what advice would you give a youngster coming through, whether it's in swimming, whether they're a model, whether they're an actor, and they experience what you've gone through? It's traumatic. How would you say is the best way to tackle it?
Do you know what? It definitely took me a while. And I think it's one of those that everyone's got to find their feet with it. Because so many people say to me, why haven't you come off social media? Because I don't want to come off social media. Like, why should I come off social media and stuff like that? But I think the best piece of advice is to, like, really listen and just value those people's opinions that you really care about. I kind of used to take that person's opinion on board when I didn't know anything about their lives.
So it's about silencing the noise by removing it from
your
life.
But also, like, I don't know them.
How do you let it not affect you though? Because that's what I've received, a couple of messages here and there and this and that, and no matter what, I've found that even if I know deep down that it's not true, it still cuts you a bit, you know?
But I think that's human nature. I think the thing is, you could get 10 good things of anything and you'd focus on the one. That's human nature. So I think a little bit is, you've got to remember that is the human side. But I think that the flip side of that, like, sort of stuff is, it's okay to be a bit upset about it as well, because that shows that you're a nice person.
Yeah,
like, it shows you're a kind person, and actually, like, you want people to like you, or at least like respect you, or kind of at least not say things like, I don't mind if somebody criticizes something that's like fair play, because I think athletes are pretty good at like taking on criticism.
Yeah,
like, if somebody,
but constructive criticism it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, like, if somebody said to me, oh, Becky, you said that wrong on telly, I'm like, yes, fair play, so sorry I got it wrong, like, and I don't mind that sort of stuff. Or in my job or whatever, I openly take on like the negative feedback as well as the positive. But when it's something that's really personal or just not necessary, that's when it's gonna hurt you, because you're a good person. So I think accepting that. But I also feel like, as well, like, laughing it off a little bit as well, because I did a trolling show years and years ago with Frankie Bridge, and she was going in, she was looking at the trolls. So she would actually like go and try and talk to people that were the trolls and see the other side of it, rather than, and just going, well, what's going on in their life? And it actually made me feel really sorry for them.
What was the sort of just because underline of that?
A lot of people are just sad and jealous and lonely and just are angry at something, not necessarily you as people, but stuff. And that's where they take it out on them, on stuff, is by trolling. And actually you do feel a bit sorry for people that, because I don't have time. I barely have time to go through my own feed, let alone find somebody and send a negative tweet.
Yeah, because it is actually a form of attacking. Imagine going out of your way to attack someone. Jealousy has got to be the worst trait. Probably one of my biggest pet hates, actually.
Yeah, and it 100% is that. But I think it's one of those that I feel sorry for trolls, because you clearly don't have enough in your life that kind of fulfills you or entertain. Like, I physically don't have time between working, my family, my friends, two kids, my husband, my dogs, my everything else. I barely have time
to juggle, not even juggle, but like, yeah.
Let alone send negative comments to people.
Get out of here. If you're a troller and you're listening, get out. Oh, got a few people wave in, say hello. Yeah, love that, love that. Did you notice, by the way, we've brought you down to the Serpentine?
Yes. I haven't.
Should we go for a dip?
I'm cold even just walking around with my coat on.
So post London 2012, went in the jungle.
Yes.
How's the transition out of sport been into being a mum?
Do you know what? At first, like, it's really hard when you first retire, because you just go, what do I do now? Of course. Yep. Everyone has that. For me, I find the hardest thing is not having somebody tell me what to do. And I know that sounds a bit weird, but as in, I was used to my coach. I've been coached and had that guide for like 23 years of my life. And then I stopped and I was like, hold on, who's telling me? Like, my coach was the one that kind of dictated stuff.
Yeah.
So to not have somebody tell me what to do, I was like, it's a bit weird. What do I do? I was like, I felt like every decision I made, I needed to talk to somebody about it at first to go, is this the right thing? So I was so used to having that person of my coach going to bounce off and to kind of talk through those decisions. So I found that the hardest thing. But then having opportunities like I'm a Celeb and like the stuff that I did has just been amazing. Don't get me wrong, the jump was definitely the most stupidest thing I've done.
Tell us about the jump.
Because that was just, so I am a non-skier, right? I've never skied because we were never really allowed to go.
But you do ski now, right?
Now I do.
I had a little peek. I saw you now cruising.
I did last year. I learned how to ski because it's something that I was so excited to go on the jump to learn from professionals.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, we're going to get like amazing training. And then the beginners just got nothing extra to everyone else. And I was like, crap. And it was just car crash because everyone just kept getting injured. It was like mad because the people were just so incredible that I met, and like I loved the group. So in that aspect, but should never do something if you've got no background in it, that's for sure. But what has been amazing, it didn't put me off. I've been back skiing. I took my daughter. I only had my daughter at the time. She did lessons, and I will now definitely I will 100% go back skiing.
It's the coolest thing I think to be able to do with a little one. Mom and daughter shredding on the slopes.
Well, it was one of those that
have got matching outfits?
We haven't got matching outfits.
That needs to happen. I can help you with that.
They don't do cool ones for adults. The kids ones are so nice. And I'm like, where's this for adults? Like,
I can sort you out. Don't you worry.
I'm like, why is everything just plain and boring? And I'm like, I want my daughter's unicorn on that. <She's got>.
Unicorn. Here she comes, Becky Adlington in her unicorn outfit, straight down the centre of the piece. That's so cool though. So you're a fan of your skiing?
Do you know what? I feel like it's the most tranquil sport you can do. Like, because I feel like at first I just was so scared. Oh God, I'm high up. And oh my God, what if I fall? But actually, once you eliminate, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not a good skier. I've been once. Yeah. But after a few days, and I found my feet, I fully got to look up. Instead of looking down and just panicking the whole time, once I got out a snowplow and could ski parallel, I was just like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And yeah.
Pizza, French fries, that's what we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once you were French frying, down the French Alps.
I loved it. It was just like the best thing ever.
It is so tranquil. And I suppose that's something with swimming as well, which you don't have your phone, right?
Oh. That
See,
is the best.
In the mountains, you always have to have your phone on you still, because if you get hurt and it's dangerous. But I can imagine that's... My mum, actually, she loves her swimming, and I'm quite into my yoga. So throughout my career, yoga was kind of my safe space. It was my switch off. Also helped me survive my snowboard career. And my mum always says, swimming is my yoga. And I don't get it. The only part that I get, I suppose, is the fact she doesn't have her phone.
Yeah, it's very true. I think the thing is, like, once you know how to swim where you can, like, at a good enough level where you can control your breathing, it's like anything. I think it's all about your breathing. And I think when you don't know how to swim, you're so out of breath that people find it really difficult to switch off, because they're like, oh, it's just tiring because I can't breathe. Whereas actually, once you get to a decent enough level where you can control your breathing, actually just, like, so therapeutic. You just just don't have your phone, you don't have anyone around you, you don't have any noise, like there's no music, there's no people chatting in the background, there's nobody.
True.
Like even when you go to yoga, there's somebody talking to instruct you unless you're at home just doing it on your own. So I'm like, that's the difference of swimming. It's just you and the sound of water in your ears. That is all you can hear. It's just really like, I don't know, you can just switch off. And especially if you swim outdoors, like not necessarily here, but there's so many beautiful spots in the UK which are just stunning. Like if you get into Lake Windermere and you're just like, my God, this is amazing.
Do you do much of the open water swimming?
I didn't used to. I've been petrified of the sea growing up.
Really?
Hated the sea. I'm like, I can't outswim a shark. That's my thing.
Oh, I'm so scared of sharks. Honestly, yeah, that's got to be one of my biggest fears when I've done a little bit of surfing. I'm the whole time I'm just like on edge.
Where's the shark?
Yeah, put me in a lake any day of the week.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. Whereas like over the past couple of years, I've done stuff. I've done a lot more outdoor stuff. And I do genuinely love it. I really struggle with the cold. I'm such a big wimp. And I know cold water swimming is brilliant for you. Amazing therapy. I know how big it's got, but I'm like, no, I need
tomorrow morning after the Team GB ball, 7 a.m. see you here. Imagine. People actually do that.
People definitely do that.
Absolutely.
But I'm not one of them.
No, me neither. I'll be in the gym on the treadmill. Maybe. No, maybe not.
I wouldn't
tonight.
Even be that. I'll be in bed.
How's your routine towards fitness changed since becoming a mum and retiring?
Do you know what? At first I didn't swim for ages. Then I kind of got back into it. And then I did a little bit of CrossFit, did a bit of weights, did a bit of everything. Whereas now with two kids, I'm like, I just don't have time.
Like, are you one of those mums, like, does the power walk in with the buggy? Not about that life.
I'm literally a fish out of water. I'm not very good on land. I normally trip over my own feet. But I think, like, now I've found, like, a good level. I swim once a week, and then I go in the gym, like, 3 times a week. Oh, so I do classes.
Yeah.
So I do a class called Hive with Andy Turner. Do you know the Olympic hurdler?
Yeah.
You will know Andy. You only have to see Andy's face and everyone knows him. An Olympic absolute legend hurdler. So Andy runs some classes up in Manchester where I go. So
I do
them. And it's great. And I absolutely love it because it's 45 minutes. Get it done, move on with my day.
I love that. In, out, bosh it out. And you're like the energy afterwards. That's all I need now.
That's all I want. And the thing is, that's all you have time for with kids, because then it's like, I've got to take my daughter to swimming lesson or pick her up from school, or you're doing so many other stuff. And I'm like, or it's my little one's nap time or whatever. And I'm like, nah.
Even the journey to the gym, I think, especially living in London. So unless I cycle, say if I've got work afterwards and I get the tube, and then it takes you like 45 minutes to even get there.
You need to move out of London, babe. That's what it is. Because that's not the rest of the UK.
My life is for living.
No.
London is fun.
It's a 10-minute drive for me to get to my gym. It's fine.
That sounds so chilled. That's why I like running though. Just out, boom, done.
True, that's very true. Yeah. No, I get that.
And how about your relationship with food? Because I know I've spoken to Tom Dean on the podcast before. He said he wakes up in the middle of the night with hunger pains. And I know Adam Peaty likes his food as well. And you as swimmers can eat pretty much whatever you want. How have you adjusted to not burning that amount of energy?
Well, that's why I got really fat.
I don't think I've ever seen you back.
No, I put on a lot of weight. I put on 10 kilograms.
Go on, I can relate to
so
that.
So I put on 10 kg after I retired.
Yeah.
I then kind of like lost it in the jungle. Spending 3 weeks in a jungle will do that. So I lost all that weight that I had put on. Just from doing I'm a Celeb. I need to do it again, I think. After two kids, like, put me in the jungle
again,
please.
I'll come with you. Bit of rice and beans, right?
Exactly.
Brutal.
But then both my pregnancies, I've put on like 4 stone in my pregnancies.
Really?
Like, really a lot of weight. And to be fair, this last pregnancy, we had our kitchen done. So we had no kitchen for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So for 6 months, all we ate was like takeaways and microwave meals, which was just horrendous because it was height of lockdown. So it's not like we had any choice. So it was just awful. So that's that's the excuse for that one. But yeah, so my weight is like real yo-yo. Like I'm an average size 12 to 14.
Yeah.
Like my height as well. So sometimes, more often than that, I have to go a 14 just because everything's for diddy people and I'm not diddy. I feel like it's one of those that's why I exercise though. I exercise so I can go to the cafe with my daughter and she can order pancakes and we can both sit there and share them. Like, that's what life's for.
Those moments are so special. I cannot imagine what it was like though, being able to eat kind of whatever you wanted. Because you can, right? As
yeah,
a swimmer?
I don't think you did when you swim. I think you eat big portions, but I didn't hardly ever eat takeaways ever when I swam. Like, I had probably cake more than anything because my housemate and one of my good friends that I live with, Kath, she was an insane baker. So every weekend it was like baking a new cake. And she used to bring
amazing.
It in on Saturday morning. Like, even my coach was happy with it because he was like, I get a slice of cake. And we all just used to eat cake. So that was probably my worst thing, but otherwise.
And that's only like a little treat. It's not even a big thing, right? And especially if you're swimming.
Yeah,
like
no,
you did.
But when you can sit there and demolish a whole cake, I think then
yeah,
you need
fair
to
one.
Stop. But yeah, still, one. We didn't eat bad. I didn't really drink. Like a year before London, I had no alcohol at all.
So, same with me, actually. I didn't.
Yeah.
I gave myself 3 green cards before Pyeongchang. So I can drink 3 times. And I had a vodka once and I didn't even want it because I just wanted to go in like knowing
that
I did everything I possibly could. That's changed slightly now. Definitely yeah. Gonna have a few bevvies tonight. Team to be bull. All the active athletes there not touching it. I'm like, let's go have a little dance, you know.
It's after Olympic year though, we're drinking, it's fine. We absolutely fine. But I was exactly the same. I think, do you know what, some people like a glass of wine or whatever, like if you genuinely like it and still train off that. Whereas I was just like, I just was like, I've got the rest of my life to drink. Let's do it after I've retired. Like I knew I was retiring young, so I was like, I got the rest of my life and I've certainly made up for it.
How, you were 23 when you retired?
Yeah.
That is insane. 2 Olympics done in the can, retired at 23.
It's the best way, I'm telling you. It's the way forward. But yeah, I don't sit there at home with a cocktail now. So certainly not retired from life. But I think it's very similar to gymnastics. Like it's such a young sport and especially for girls. Like on the swim team, the girls are on average 4 years younger than the guys. That's just the sport.
Wow.
So and that's like kind of across the board that the guys tend to be a little bit older than the girls. Obviously there's exceptions to that, but that is like, it is really common. Like we see all the time with the Olympics, there's 15, 16 year olds winning gold medals all the time.
Because in running, on the endurance side, the athletes are older. Because elements of swim, is 800 meters considered endurance or not?
Yeah. So it's like the sprinter events you tend to get where the older athletes are because you need the power and strength. So like for 50, like that's why Mark Foster was something like 98 or something when he retired. Like
98?
Whatever Mark was, bless him. Mark went to 5 Olympics because he's
5 Olympics? That is ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, he was a sprinter. He'd smash and dash. Like 50, if you do 50, then you get to be a bit older, whereas like distance events, like nah. You need them young genes.
Yeah, you definitely do. Same in my sport. Bod just can't handle those impacts anymore.
Oh, I bet.
What's your relationship like now with the start of the week? As a swimmer, did your routine, did you have the weekends off?
Yeah.
So Monday was like a hard-hitting day.
Monday was like, right, we're back to it. Monday morning, get it done. So like Sunday was always our recovery day. So Monday was the only day of the week where you used to feel a bit fresh, like ready and raring to go. Whereas it was the rest of the week that was the tough one. And now it's exactly the same because like now my daughter's at school.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we have the weekend off. Like we don't work weekends, like me and my husband. So it's like, that's exactly how we treat it now as well. Like, okay, Monday morning sets up and I'm like, I'm such a Monica from Friends. I'm so organized. And I like,
I love a bit of organization as well.
I love it. I love like a folder. I love a list. I love, honestly, I'm like Monica. And every Sunday night I sit down and I do my little like weekly thing. We have like one of those weekly planners and I stick it on the fridge and like all that sort of stuff. I love it.
Brilliant. I love that as well. So Monday, would you say, yes, I'm like excited for the start of the week? Or is it more of a, oh, here we go?
I think it depends what's happening. Most of the time I am excited because like the kids, it's like my little boy's only 8 months. He's so diddy.
So young and fresh.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't know it's Monday. He doesn't care. It's any day of the week. And my daughter, like obviously she loves school. Primary school's the best. Primary school's like where it's at. It's secondary that most people hate. So she loves going to school as well. So she's super excited. I'm a bit like, because me and my husband have to work, that we're a bit like, oh. But at the same time, when we know we've got a good week,
yeah,
it is exciting, especially like if I'm coming to London or if I've got stuff on like this, like I'm excited.
What's day to day like for you normally?
Just working.
What's work though? Because it varies, no?
It does, but most of the time it's my learn to swim business.
Nice.
So we've got
I've heard a little bit about that actually.
Yes. So we've got kind of a few different companies all under the same umbrella. We've got Swim, Becky Addington Swim Stars, Becky Addington Training, and Total Swimming. So we've got loads of different companies.
That is what we call total domination.
Yes, exactly. We have to.
Businesswoman, entrepreneur, badass mum, love it.
You have to be with swimming. It's one of those that like pool space is gold dust. Yeah. It's literally gold dust to get it. So we've got to try and get in every bit of pool space we possibly can to get kids learning how to swim. So it's all grassroots and I absolutely love it. It's just, we've got like 30,000 kids on the program every week learning how to swim. It's just...
That is surreal.
I know, it's just mental and I absolutely love it. And we've got such a brilliant team. I'm so lucky because I just feel so inspired. Like Beth Tweddle's part of our company, Steve Parry, Olympian, like, I get to go to work and I see Olympians and my mates and people that are just so inspiring and hardworking, like the rest of the team are just brilliant. So I love it.
That is unreal. So if someone's got a youngster,
yes,
what would you say is the best age to get them in the pool and how would they get involved?
I took Albie from 5 weeks old.
Wow.
Because of lockdown. I couldn't take him any earlier. I took Summer from 3 weeks old.
Three weeks?
You think they need to wait for their jabs. You don't. You can get in the pool. The NHS says you don't have to wait. Get them in. They've just been sat in water for like 9-10 months of you. Like they're happy to be back in water. I think that it's such an amazing time to bond with your child. Is when they're born, because it's the only thing that they really stay awake for. Everything else that you take them to, like, they'll fall asleep.
Whereas, so have you got two water babies?
They do like the water, yeah. Like, I wouldn't say, well, obviously my boy is dead little, but my daughter, bless her, every week the teacher just ends up shouting at her. It's like,
bless.
Summer, listen to what we're doing, Summer, this. And I'm like, oh, bless her, she's never gonna be a swimmer, but that's fine. She enjoys it and that's the main thing. But I just think get your kids in water, because I don't know what it is, they just develop fear. It's almost like they get to a certain age and they learn what fear is. Just in life, they learn what fear is and consequences and things. And all of a sudden they go, oh, I'm scared of this, because it's unknown and it's like a big bath. To them, it's huge, a pool. Yeah. So they just become scared. So I think eliminate that fear, get them in early. Just, it's a skill that, it's like riding a bike. Once you can swim, you could swim for the rest of your life.
It's a life skill that you need.
It is a life skill, and I feel like we do live near water.
Yeah.
Prime example here. But also, I think it's more that, like, you'll always know it. Like, you're giving your child something that is a skill for the rest of their lives. Like, not only to save lives, but also, like, they want to do a triathlon when they're in their 20s. You've given them something for later on in life because they'll know how to do it.
No, you're kind of screwed if you want to do a triathlon and you can't swim.
Exactly.
I feel that I need to do a triathlon. I've done the marathon thing, but the swimming I've always kind of parked to the side, so maybe...
How about we do like a relay triathlon and I'll do the swim bit.
Go on!
You do the running bit, we just need a cyclist.
Who are we getting? Let's get like Lauren Steadman or someone to do the cycling.
Exactly.
Wait, but I'm the least athletic person in that dynamic.
Oh gosh, as if. You've just said to me you like running.
Yeah, but you're, you know, the Olympic gold medalist doing the swimming bit.
And you can't back out of the triathlon now.
I'm the average runner. Look, doing the running bit.
I was giving you a way out to not do the full triathlon.
Okay, bang
here.
It, bang it. I'm in. We need a cyclist. Anyone listening to this now, we're looking for a cyclist to join our team. Should we do one of the mega ones as well, long ones?
Yeah,
the Iron Woman or whatever it's called.
Okay, you've just moaned at me for just doing the run on a normal triathlon.
Yeah, but it's fine because I'm putting you in for the swim.
That's
so it's
fine.
All good. I'll take care of the running.
That's fine.
Or the cycling, just not the swimming.
That's fine. I'll do the swimming.
Any life mottos that you live by?
Not really. I just think mine are really boring because it's just like everything in moderation, like balance and just all that sort of stuff.
Just so casual, everything in moderation, balance. Would you say you nail the balance?
I'm definitely getting better at the balance. I think
in what element? In terms of life management, food,
I feel
exercise,
like
or the whole shebang?
With food and exercise, I feel like I've got a balance. I'm never going to be stick thin. I don't want to be stick thin, but I'm healthy.
To that, sportswomen, strong.
Yeah, I don't want to be that. And I look after myself. I stay healthy and like I can. I think the only area that I think I do need to be a little bit better at is kind of like, not the work life, because I don't like to separate them, because you work just in your life. I don't like to separate it as work and then life, or like it's verse each other, because
no.
Your life is just part of work, and like they should go together.
So if you can find a healthy relationship with work and then the life outside of work. But I feel like if you can enjoy your work, then you're living the best life.
Exactly.
It's kind of what I'm going for.
I do. And I think I just think coming out of lockdown, that's the one thing, like, I just want to keep going. Like, lockdown, for me, was the first time I slowed down.
I feel you.
And I was like...
I got off the train and yeah. I sat and was present and wasn't on a plane.
Yeah. And it was lovely. And I don't want to get back on that super fast train. I'm happy to get back on and like a little tram.
Yeah.
Because I want to keep going forward. Of yeah. course I do. But at the same time, I don't want to go at the pace that I was pre-lockdown. I yeah. want to spend as much time as I possibly can with my kids while I still can, and they're young and they want to be around me as well. Because yeah. in 10 years, they're going to be like, I don't want to see you, Mum.
You know what? I actually don't believe that about kids saying, no, I don't want to see you. I reckon if you have a good relationship with your kids, they end up your friends, or yeah. that's the vibe. You're yeah. for sure going to have that. You can
I
see
hope
it.
So.
The
I
energy,
so.
The zest for life.
I hope so.
You're the coolest mum ever.
I don't think my daughter thinks that at all.
That will change. That will definitely
change. She
goes,
Mum, stop kissing me, because I make her kiss me in the playground when we're
okay,
at school.
Okay, so maybe don't do that. Let's not embarrass her that much. Play the cool mum card, Becky. Play the
I don't want to. I'm like, I love you.
Here's me, that has no children. Play the cool mum card. No idea. Monday Mar listeners, that is a wrap. Becky Allington, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Your time, your openness, your honesty, and sharing your experience and stories with us.
Thank you.
An absolute honour. I feel like we need to go and get our dresses on because we've got a ball to go to.
Oh gosh, yeah. I forgot about that. Can I wear my trainers?
Can I just go like this? Go on. Monday Mile, it is a wrap. Don't forget that the audio drops at 2 a.m. every Monday morning, and the visuals will be on Instagram from 9 a.m. Have an absolutely wicked week. And while you're walking, maybe look in for a swim too.